This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, and welcome to the NBA Team Podcast over here on placetobenation.com. I'm your co-host, Andrew Reich, joined by Adam Murray.
Another part two.
I mean, we're just killing it with part twos these days, huh?
I know. Maybe we should learn to spread these out. We could have been done all summer and just sat at the beach and chilled.
Or we could have just done a four-hour podcast and everyone would have fallen asleep by the time we get to the Pelicans. Which would have been better off for me, because no one would have to hear me argue for 15 minutes about how shitty Monty Williams was. But no, we're doing another part two here, since we're diving into all of the offseason trajectories and transactions and what ifs and who did that, and regarding the NBA draft, which just took place this past Thursday, along with the free agency, which is going to be coming on this week. It's kind of an exciting time. You got these new rookies that are kind of coming into the fold for these teams, and then you got all these sweeping changes going on with the organizations on their rosters, because everyone's trying to make big deals. This is kind of the time where that stuff happens. I mean, you know, sometimes we see big deals in like August and September, but usually it comes around this time, right?
Yeah, the later the season gets, the rarer it is, because there's more desperation.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta do something fast, but now, you know, day one, free agencies, people are knocking on each other's doors at, you know, 12:01 in the morning. Somebody's up there with a bag of cash saying, please play for us.
Do you like the fact that we have proposed deals, so people still have to kind of go by the hat and wear the team hat that they know they're not going to play for? Do you like that?
That's the worst possible thing, is we need to wait till everybody makes their picks. Yeah. And
like Dirk Nowitzki wearing a Bucks hat, and Lindsay Noel wearing a Pelicans hat.
Everybody know, like, this day and age, like, it takes 2 hours to finalize trades. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they doing? Sending Pony Express, mm-hmm. you know, into New York to, oh, is this player under contract? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it should be instantaneous, like the NFL. Like, we already have the player's name is on his jersey, his new traded team's jersey.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I'll tell you why, because the deals, like we always say, the NFL is drawn out. The deals are drawn out for so long that I think they're already in place long before. Whereas in the NBA, there's so, like, it's so rapid fire that it's like, oh, let's make a deal. You know, so the deal was literally made like about 5 minutes before the pick was made, you know?
Well, yeah, but there's no way, like, you know, there's the problem with the NBA was, basically, you know, previous years there were turds in the pool who ruined the draft for everybody and traded away draft picks every year for players who were horrible. And mm-hmm. now you can't trade away every other year's first round, and you need to get your pick for like, all these crazy rules. I'm like, you just can't have like this interactive database on an iPad where each team has, like, this team has exactly these picks, they don't have these picks, and just, yeah, you know, punch them in where it's instantaneous. Like, this day and age,
I agree with you about the draft day, where they should just switch them and just let the player being selected wear the proper colors.
Because how many times you have, you know, you hear the ESPN announcers going, well, this pick will be made for another team. Well, then if they know it, everybody else knows it.
Yeah, well, they announce the trades usually in the second round. And that's, this year it's Mark Tatum, you know, who's the deputy commissioner. It used to be Adam Silver when David Stern was running the show. Now, obviously, Silver is the lead commissioner and Tatum is the backup. So he's the one who's like, we have a trade to announce. And then they announce, it's like, yeah, we fucking know.
that's the problem. Everybody gets all excited like, oh, yeah, we got a trade. Here we come. This is a trade that's already been announced, and it's already been on Twitter even on the team's web pages.
The one that gives me the double take is when they show a trade from previous years, and then I see this like card flash. I'm like, oh my god, there's a trade. It's like, oh no, that trade happened 2 years ago. But We're going to go ahead and get started here with the Western Conference on our free agency preview / NBA draft recap. And the first one we're going to hit on is going to be the Dallas Mavericks, who are always in the hunt to make moves, even though they haven't really hit that big home run yet in free agency, even though there's a possibility that we might see it. But let's start with the draft. They had one pick at number 21, and they picked Justin Anderson, a tall, small forward, kind of a 3-and-D type guy. I think that's a good fit for them.
Don't they already have they have two people on their roster. Chandler Parsons and Dirk Nowitzki. And isn't Chandler Parsons take one of those positions up already?
They have three: Parsons, Nowitzki, and Devin Harris.
Okay.
So those are the only guaranteed players right now on their roster. Everyone else is either an unrestricted free agent, a restricted free agent, or they've declined their player options, including Monte Ellis, who I think was smart in doing it because I think he's going to make more than $9 million.
Yeah, but, you know, again, you have Chandler Parsons. He's not a four. Can Justin Anderson play a two?
Has Parsons lost value because he suffered the knee injury right before the season ended, or do you think he's still just as good as he was when he signed with
I think he'll be back. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be back and just be fine. It was just, it's a great pick. They need shooters, but the problem is you have you've picked somebody who's in a position you already have.
I think Anderson is insurance in case Al-Farouq Aminu leaves into free agency.
Oh, he'll be gone. Somebody will
overpay him. Yeah, $1.1 million. No way. I don't think he's going to take that option. I don't know if he's even declined it yet, but let's talk about the unrestricted free agents. Rajon Rondo, Tyson Chandler, Richard Jefferson, Charlie Villanueva, J.J. Barea, Amari Stoudemire. I don't think any of them are going to be back.
Nope, none of them. You got three players on the roster, and they have a ton of money, so I don't know who they're going to throw it at because, reports are they're looking at, Aldridge, but he's not looking back at them. And
LaMarcus Aldridge is from Texas. So, the big three that are kind of targeting him are the two of the Texas teams, the Mavericks and the San Antonio Spurs, and then the L.A. Lakers. So that it's kind of coming down to where they might be the bridesmaids. Once again, it's happened over and over again. Deron Williams back in 2010, it happened with in 2012 it happened with Deron Williams. And then there was Dwight Howard, and then there was there was another one that they tried to go after and they failed, and that was about a year ago. Pau Gasol. Every single time they think they've got something, and then he winds up getting spurned. So we'll see if he can do it this year with LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't think he's dumb enough to go after Marc Gasol because I don't think he's going anywhere. Maybe DeAndre Jordan, maybe Draymond Green. Like, I think we might see one of those big names go over there.
Maybe.
I will almost guarantee one of those big names that we've been mentioning in free agency, one of them will be a Dallas Maverick next year.
They've been too, every year they've been so up against the cap and they try to do all this creativity to go after and strike out these big guys. And, this year they have nothing. They have no draft picks. They have no bodies.
They need a point guard now.
They need a shooting guard. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Devin Harris can play one of those two.
What was the problem with Dallas? Was it Rondo mainly, or was it something else? Maybe defensive deficiencies? Maybe it's the fact that Dirk Nowitzki can't guard anymore.
It just seemed like everything just fell apart. It wasn't – I don't think it was on Rondo completely, considering, Monta Ellis is leaving on bad terms, as he is –
I don't think he's leaving on bad terms. I thought he played really hard for Dallas, but I felt like he used those 2 years just to prove to teams, I can still play well. I can be a team player. And he proved it in Dallas. You never heard rumors about Monte complaining about playing time or such. He just played. It was Rondo where you heard all the bullshit. So now he took a chance on himself for 2 years in Dallas, and it worked out for him, and he's probably going to make big money.
Yeah, somebody will pay him. I don't know where, but that's just pieces have to fall for him to move somewhere.
It's going to be a team that needs a guard badly enough, like maybe the Kings. But it depends on what situation Ellis wants to be in. He was just played for a team where they went to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Does he want to play for a bad team again?
You want to chase the money or you want to chase the, the playoffs?
And that's really hard to predict because that, I mean, we've seen players go both ways with that. Some people, some team players get lucky and they get the money and they get the, and they get to be in a winning situation. So, you know, some, you know, to the victors go the spoils. Let's move on now to the Houston Rockets. Now, the Rockets are in a position where they can make a couple of moves, but let's talk about the draft. And I didn't like who they got in terms of need by position, but in terms of over best available talent, they did about as well as any team could have done with the number 18 pick, which they got from the Pelicans for Omer Sheik, and then the number 32 pick. They got Sam Dekker at number 18, who fell, I don't know how he fell at 18, and then at number 32, they took Montrezl Harrell, who's an undersized but very energetic power forward. I really like those two picks, even though, like I said, it doesn't make any sense for the Rockets based on what their needs are.
No, it's just, you know, with one of those, well, what do you need? A point guard. What are you not going to get? Anything close to a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take the best, you know, you take the best on your board, and at the worst, you have assets. And do they need size? No, because you have Clint Capella, who's now going nowhere.
Yeah, you have
everybody's.
Terrence Jones,
Monta Eunice. You can. Josh Smith was more of a four than a three these days.
What's the chance of Josh Smith leaving?
He already
screwed the Pistons. Do you think any team will take a chance and give him more than $7 million a year?
No.
I think that's his peak. I think $7 million is his peak.
Well, it's his peak right now, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if... I don't think the issue is how much money will you give him. It's how many years will you give him.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody said, we'll give you 2 years, $20 million, okay, I got no problem with that. But somebody said, I'll give you 4 years, you know,
$36 million. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the, I'd rather, you know, you could... You know, okay, you get your money for 2 years, that's fine. But you got 4 years at a little cheaper value, it's still 4 years of you.
I think he gets 4 years, but the last year is a team option. Or maybe three, and then the third year is a team option.
Yeah, so he's probably going to stay. But it's just like, what do you – you need a point guard. Okay, you got one free agency. Who you have no free – you have no cap room.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to just go for the lower tier J.J. Barea's.
I thought they were going to go after Tyus Jones. I really believe those rumors that they got a promise, but didn't turn out to be the case.
Well, you always have a promise till somebody falls to you. Somebody's falling down the charts.
You think that's what happened with Dekker?
Yeah, because the Dekker people were saying he was going to go like 12th.
Some people had him going to the Miami Heat at 10.
I forgot about the Heat.
Who was Wisconsin's best player? Was it Kaminsky or was it Dekker?
It looked like Dekker.
Even though he went way lower and Kaminsky won the Naismith.
Yeah, but then you could say who was the best player at Duke.
The best player at Duke was Grayson Allen.
Why do I even bother talking to you half the time?
Let me tell you, Grayson Allen is going to run college basketball for the next 3 years. That smugly white baby face that dunks and takes threes and flops and slaps the floor for Krzyzewski. If you think J.J. Redick was despised, wait till Grayson Allen hits his stride.
Yeah, but Allen knows that's what he wants to be.
Yes, he wants to be. It's almost like he grew up eating up all that Duke-ism and said, okay, I'm going to mold myself into that.
He knows I want to be the greatest villain of all time.
Yes.
Whereas J.J. Redick was just a natural douche.
I really thought Tyus Jones was the best player on that team.
So, he fell to 21st. How can they? You know, it just, you know, with translations to NBA versus college. And, you know, Kaminsky is, okay, well, he's a stretch five. Well, yeah, you know. And I had said to a coworker, like, he's just a glorified pit snoggle. I'm like, you know, they're like, that's harsh. I'm like,
you're not high on Kaminsky.
No, I haven't been high. I was like, if he turns out to be great, okay, good. I have, you know, no problem being, you know, good for him. Glad he helped that team. But it's just, what, you know, the best college players don't often make the best pros.
The team option for Costa, Papanikola was already picked up, and I think that was smart. Jason Terry is an unrestricted free agent, and Patrick Beverly is a restricted free agent. That is tough. Like, I know Terry has still got a little bit of juice left, but he's in his late 30s. Beverly just came off of the wrist injury, but he might be worth it. Do you see both these guys coming back?
I could see Jason Terry making one more year. He'll be one of those, like, this will be my swan song. I'm just going to sign with a playoff contender. Yeah, because he played minutes. It wasn't like he was buried. He was, you know.
No, he played well. The problem was as that series with Golden State wound down, he couldn't play as many minutes and because he was chasing around Steph Curry all the time. And then when James Harden was handling the ball, he ran out of gas and started turning the ball over like crazy.
I could see him doing sort of the, I'm going to wait till December, wait till January and take a few months off. Then I'll sign a minimum deal just to have one last run.
Okay. What about Beverly?
His value is he has no value, so.
Oh, people would disagree. People think he's going to get $9 million.
Coming off an injury?
Well, because it was just a wrist injury. It wasn't like a major. It wasn't like a knee. It wasn't like Wes Matthews with the Achilles.
Oh,
because,
you know, it's a wrist injury. It's not like, you know, good thing he shoots with his legs.
But no, a lot of people like him because he's a 3-and-D guy. 3-and-D guys are valuable.
He's a 3-and-D guy, but I just see, like, why would you give him 9 if he's just going to be a backup point guard?
Well, I'm just floating the number out there. Like, what I'm saying is he's definitely going to get paid. You know, he might be in an offer sheet situation, you know. He might be one of those ones where Houston might have, I mean, they were in that situation already with Chandler Parsons. They might have to sweat it out for a couple days and see, okay, do we really have to match this? Like, is he worth it? And I think they're going to have to make a tough choice. One fascinating one is KJ McDaniels is a restricted free agent. It's not that he's a great player. It's just that he did show a little bit of potential in Philadelphia and then wound up kind of riding the pine in Houston because they had so much depth. Do you think anyone takes a chance on KJ McDaniels, or does he wind up just staying one more year? No,
he's just going to stay one more year because you're not going to overpay for one kid who did well in Philly but did nothing anywhere else, which seems to be the case of, well, yeah, because that's because there's no – they just let anybody play for Philly.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm just remembering KJ doing like 2 or 3 really awesome dunks, and it's clouding my judgment.
You know, like he's – you know, because he got minutes, and you have no – structure, no leadership. It's just whoever scores. You know, so there's not gonna be a team that's like, oh, we need to pay him like $4 or $5 million. So any reasonable offer, I'm like, well, okay, we'll take him. It's cheap. But people say, well, just go play another year there, and he's probably gonna be in the D League for half of it. And
yeah,
just because of depth, and that's why, you know, you trade for that asset. And
I don't think Houston's going anywhere. I think that team's really good again. You know, I mean, I think they're going to be right back in the hunt like they always
Well, they're never going to do anything because with Harden and Howard as your cornerstones, well, there's not much you can do other than try to put ancillary pieces around them.
Okay, now let's move on to another team that we feel like is going to be standing pat because that's been the way that they've run their team for the last 10 years, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies. Their draft was interesting. First, they made a couple of moves. They got Matt Barnes in that weird roundabout where Barnes went from the Clippers to the Hornets. Then he wound up, I think, with the Thunder. And then he wound up going to the Grizzlies in some kind of side deal where they didn't really have to give anything up. Then they made a swap where they wound up getting Andrew Harrison in the second round. They actually reached to get him. You know, is it because they want something out of him?
Well, they probably liked what they, you know, it's you reach for a second round pick. It's just, no, you target your, as we saw with you know, team with Detroit taking some kid from Villanova who was not on any top 50 charts.
Mm-hmm. But what happens is when you trade to get into the draft in the second round, that means you like a guy. You know, that's what they have with Andrew. I can understand why Andrew got picked over Aaron, for those who are wondering, because Aaron had the clutch shots in the NCAA tournament a year ago, or maybe before that, but Andrew has a little more versatility as a point guard, which is more valued. So maybe that means that they anticipate losing Nick Calathes in free agency.
Well, why did he get drafted? Because everyone expected him to, because, you know, Aaron just shot and did nothing, and he couldn't even shoot well.
Yeah.
And, okay, you have a point guard. Okay, we have a point guard who's pretty good, decent, not, you know, second-round flyer.
Six foot four, a little bit of a
good
strong
size,
body.
And we just have you have a six-foot-four shooting guard who doesn't shoot well. which one should we pick?
So the question between the Twins, Andrew's better than Aaron?
Fairly certain. But, you know, they basically, Memphis was just like, we are who we are. Let's just get tougher. Let's get, you know, mean guy, mean streak. Well, mean streak and
they
Barnes.
They took a big body who could play both ways. They took Jarrell Martin out of LSU. He's got
tough guy.
Great potential. I mean, everyone saw the highlight where he did the between the legs dunk against Florida. Great athleticism. Bit of a fatty. I'm not going to lie. His body fat's not great. But just a wide body. He's going to go to Zach Randolph school, which is perfect for him.
There you go. You got Zach Randolph, and you have, you know, Marc Gasol, both big body guys, and they'll all just go keep eating their ribs and just being the defensive mean guys that they've been.
In order to get back into the second round and get Harrison, they traded away John Luer. I know he didn't play a lot, but do you think it was worth it?
Well, you just drafted Luer's replacement. Another big, you know, you get rid of one big body. Oh, here's Jarrell Martin. Okay.
Okay. The real fascination here with Memphis, it's pretty simple. They have two big free agents. One is Marc Gasol, who's probably going to demand max. And then there's Kostas Koufos, who was the backup big. Now, Luer's gone, but with Martin there, does that mean Koufos' days are numbered?
No, I wouldn't say Koufos' days are numbered. I'd see somebody would be – somebody with, you know, no size might be like, you know what, well, he could be somebody. Mm-hmm. And might want to, you know, is he unrestricted?
Who's that?
Koufos.
Yes.
Yeah, so somebody might be like, you know what, we'll give you a four-year deal. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on over. Somebody might overpay him just a tad to get a little bit of size inside.
Marc Gasol, any chance he leaves?
No. He's pretty much been saying, like, don't call. I'm opting out. You know, I might even take a million or two less than the max because I'm going to stay here.
Is he worth max?
Oh, yeah. It's still a big man's league. All because he's not a stretch five doesn't mean, you know, he's still not – we're not talking about him as the best center, you know, best free agent center right now.
I don't think we're really going to be talking in this tone about Memphis until a really big move is made. Now, I know they made the Jeff Green move, but that wasn't like a huge move. All they gave up was Tayshaun Prince. But I'm talking like Randolph, or if Mike Conley, whose contract comes up next year, if he signs elsewhere, if they trade Tony Allen, that's when we start wondering with Memphis, okay, where is this going? At this point, though, everything is still the same old Memphis Grizzlies, and I don't think they care one bit what you think.
No, that's what will be. You know, I wrote them off last year. I'm like, oh, they've peaked, they're done. And all of a sudden, up, they're second place. Mm-hmm. So they're just going to keep grinding it out until they can't grind it no more.
Exactly. And now we're going to be talking about a team that's trying to get their first grind in on the Western Conference with Anthony Davis, who many could argue would be either one of the best, like maybe one of the three best players in the NBA, or maybe, I don't want to say the best player. Would you go that far?
You could have your moment.
I'll say one of the five best players in the NBA for sure. Anthony Davis with the New Orleans Pelicans, new head coach Alvin Gentry, fresh off of an NBA championship as the one of the lead assistants under Steve Kerr at Golden State. And we'll see what he's up to. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of run and gun, a lot of offense. It's not going to be 7 seconds left. It's going to be more like 12 seconds or less. You know, I think the offense is going to be fast, but it's not going to be like a rush job.
Well, the thing about the Pelicans, unfortunately, is we can say the same thing. We could literally just copy and paste from every other year. Mm-hmm. You know, if they stay healthy, this might be their year. But free agency, they really, you know, you lose Omar Asik, so you have to replace him. And
they need a center. But I don't know how badly you have to replace a Sheik. I think you could get any center, and he'd do just as well.
Then who? Okay.
I mean, the problem is Eric. They got him in such a shitter because Eric Gordon opted into the $15 million. He won't be traded until January at the best, unless Alvin Gentry wants him. You know, and Tyreke Evans, we're not sure either. You know, I think Evans is an unmovable contract. I think Drew Holiday is an unmovable contract. The only one you can really move right now is Ryan Anderson because he's going into the last year of his deal. The unrestricted free agents, the big one is Omer Sheik. The rest of them, Ajinka, Babbitt, Fredette, Dante Cunningham, whatever. I mean, those guys can be dumped in a hurry. When it comes to, though, their salary, they're just in a mess where after a Sheik, you only have room to, like, maybe spend about $9 million on somebody. So you got to hope to get the right fit as a role player, you know, to play.
Well, that's, you have $9 million to spend, but you have five positions you need to fill.
What I would do is I would sign a good guard, and I would sit Eric Gordon or Drew Holiday and just pray that somebody will take him in a trade.
Well,
A lot of people down here point to Tyreke Evans as the problem. The problem is I don't think you can move Tyreke.
I was going to say, is he better suited as a six man?
Well, they tried that, and he hated Monty for it, and then he got asserted into the starting lineup.
And then he did okay.
Mm-hmm. But with Gentry, because of the championship ring, do you think he'll command more respect where when he tells somebody to play six man, he'll say, hey, I made Andre Iguodala do it, and it worked out great.
That's the key right there is look at this guy. He was an all-star. He is a max con, you know, he's a high valued guy who's willing to do stuff for the team. What are you willing to do for the team?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then look at him. He turned, the sixth man was the MVP.
Yeah,
so
but now Steph Curry ain't walking through that door and neither is Klay Thompson, but Anthony Davis is. And I mean, that guy is enough to demand. I mean, he's going to be a restricted free agent in 2016. You got to get him to a max now.
Yeah, and he's going to do it. And the problem with, the good thing about Eric Gordon is he is an expiring deal, and you might have somebody who's looking to blow up and be like, you know what, let's just get $15 million under easily.
Here's my problem with Dell, is that everyone is starting to put it in the spin cycle that Dell didn't make those moves when they didn't pan out for him, like Gordon, like Tyreke Evans being signed, like doing a sign and trade with Drew Holiday, even though he had stress fractures in his legs. They're trying to make it out like Monty kind of nudged the deal, and now that Dell Demps has pushed Monty out, that this is what Dell really wants to do. Obviously, that's probably half true. Like, there's a good chance that Dell wanted to do these moves too, and they compromised on it. So what I'm scared of is that people are going to look at these moves that they make post-Gentry and say, oh, Dell's a genius. This is the move that's going to get us through. Well, we thought the same thing under Monty, and it got us nowhere.
Well, the same thing is, you could say who made those choices. Well, if the GM made the choices, it's the coach's job to take the pieces and do it. Don't just be bullheaded and be like, well, no, we're going to do things my way. If the pieces don't fit, you have to try to find ways to get them to work and be adaptable and be, use your coaching prowess to be like, let's try this instead, as opposed to, nah, here's my playbook.
Yeah.
Well, the players don't fit your playbook. Nah, here's my playbook.
I just don't know what they're going to do with Gordon. I just keep kind of going back and forth because we don't really know until Gentry gets him in camp and we see. I think he's really going to use Evans a lot because he does value guard play, obviously. And with Holiday, the problem is everyone around the league knows that he's a completely devalued former All-Star because of his leg injuries. So moving him is very, very hard. They would have to lump him into a deal. The problem is he's making $11 million. How do you lump in an $11 million contract? You know what I'm saying?
There's been crazier things. Joe Johnson's been moved.
I mean, it almost – like, what was Jeff Green making when he got his player option? Was it $9 million or was it less than that?
I don't know.
I mean, they were able to move him, but that was because a playoff team thought he was the answer.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, it just takes one player, one GM to be moved by the situation. And, you know, who knows? The problem is this is just another team that they're sort of in purgatory. They have a lot of roster holes to fill. They tried getting the minimum contract fodder of, you know, Luke Babbitt, Jimmer Fredette, and Ajinka.
They're so desperate for money on their cap that they traded away Brandon Dawson, their number 54 pick, for cash to the LA Clippers.
Well, yeah, but again, if they don't see a need for him, or
no, I don't think they had any idea.
Get out of the draft altogether.
That's pretty much it. They want to just save as much salary as possible, and that's exactly what they did by doing nothing. So I really can't blame them either. I thought that was actually the smart move. You know, if you're in the late second round and there's really not a value there, fuck it, just trade it. You know,
yeah, they're not a team who's big into the Euro stash, so why even just, you know, screw it? Who's gonna give us a million or two? Why not?
Speaking of Euro stash, we'll be talking now about the San Antonio Spurs, who got eliminated in the first round after a great series with the LA Clippers after previously going to the NBA Finals the 2 years before that. They went ahead and they did their Euro stash once again. Nikola Milutinov, a center, we'll probably won't see him until they win the NBA Finals in 2018. And they also got another big in Katie LeLang. He played at UMass, and I know UMass plays in the Atlantic 10, so nobody really got to get a good look at LeLang. He's kind of like he's just a rebounder, pretty much. You know, I can't really give any other value out of LeLang except for he's a pretty aggressive rebounder. He might be like Deshaun Thomas. He might just go to the D League and play for the Austin Toros and we'll never see him again. You know, it's hard to say.
You never know, but, you know, the funny thing is, you laughed at me when I said they're going to take the best Euro available. You're like, no, they're going to get, you know, Christian Wood or so Upshaw or something. No, they're going to take the best Euro.
I thought they would
Euro
go with immediate help because of the fact that they lost.
They're going to take the best Euro available. They do it every year. How many? Oh, they're so good at it. You know, they got Tony Parker and
Patty
Ginobili.
Boris Diaw. Well, Boris Diaw and Patty Mills they got from other teams. But
yeah, but I'm saying all the draft and stash, like, you know, the draft in the year. I'm like, but they do it every year, and then the returns have been less and less. Like, after Tiago Splitter, we haven't seen, like, you know, Nando DiColo was horrible, and he's back in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not really the draft picks they have. There's like, they said, of like, they have like nine, I think. Like,
yeah, there's a few of them. Yeah.
Two of them are like worthy of, like, NBA worthy right now.
Yeah, I'm
so it's just like,
there's one from France from a couple years ago, but I cannot remember his name for the life of me. I might have to look it up. But they're actually in a really crazy situation with their free agency. Usually it's pretty cut and dry with San Antonio, but Tim Duncan is an unrestricted free agent. There's already a report that he's already told the Spurs he's going to come back. The big question is, though, how long of a deal does he sign? Is it 2 years or 1 year?
Oh, it'll be a one-year deal.
And this is it?
And well, then if he wants to come back a second year, just keep doing one-year deals.
What about Manu Ginobili?
What has he really provided in the past few years?
A championship.
Yes, but was he the centerpiece of the championship?
No, but he was a key cog. Without him, they wouldn't have won it. I really believe that.
Okay, I thought he wasn't the key. He was a piece to it, but he's now an overpriced piece to the championship.
He's not going to play in Eurobasket. He knows that he doesn't have a lot of time left. But what kind of deal will he take? Will he take $6 million or $7 million? And the reason, and also Duncan is a big question too with his salary, because Kawhi Leonard is a restricted free agent. He deserves max money. Let's be serious. He deserves $18 million a year over 5 years. But that kind of spits in the face of how RC Buford runs his cap. If you look at the cap balance for the Spurs, it's so clean and cut. Like, everybody makes almost the same amount. The guy that makes the most is Tony Parker, and that's at about $11 million. If Kawhi takes the new money, then it kind of makes the Spurs have to rearrange everything.
Well, it kind of does, but at the same time, remember, you know, look at the Seahawks. Oh, look at their defense. All the defenses play for the same money. Then it just all blew up in their face, and now they're a complete mess with everybody wanting to opt out after, like, signing their deals, like, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that just happened with you have three players who are willing to play. The same thing with the Heat was, all right, we're all willing to take less to do this. We're a team thing. Well, that, you know, that changed. And Kawhi's like, well, I didn't sign up for getting $10 million when I'm 8, you know. Because all these, you know, when Duncan and Parker and, you know, they were already in the, they've already have money to their name. This is his first contract.
Yes.
So he's like, well, why would I turn down money when this is my contract to get? Maybe my second contract, you know, when I'm 30? Okay, well, I'll be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I did that, and I'll become a team player. But now, you know, I'm, why would I do that? I have no incentive to do so. And, you know, Duncan and, you know, the bigger issue for San Antonio, I think, is Bellinelli and Danny Green.
Mm-hmm. I think Bellinelli might take less, but I think Danny Green is gone.
I think they, why would you take less if there's a market out there?
I don't know if there's a market for Bellinelli.
For a 3-point shooter?
Yeah, but they'll say, well, you did that in San Antonio. I don't think you could do that here.
What, shoot threes? It's not like he was a system guy. He's just like, well, you know, look at Kyle Korver being in the league for so long as he is, just literally shooting threes, and that's just sitting in the corner, just jacking up threes. You don't need a system to be the catch-and-shoot guy.
We talked about Leonard, but what about their other two restricted free agents, Corey Joseph and Aaron Baines?
They have championship rings?
I think they're gone.
You know, they can show their championship rings to Europe.
I think Baines kind of, like, doomed himself in that playoffs when Blake Griffin embarrassed him and Popovich had to take him off the court.
Yeah, he did nothing. And Corey Joseph, what has he done over his career?
Solid backup, but nothing more.
Yeah, he's just a backup. And what makes you your solid backup as opposed to every other team's solid backup?
Okay.
You're just going to fight for a roster spot. Okay, you know, will a couple of them probably head over to New Orleans on cheap deals? Why not?
Let's get all conspiracy theory here. Duncan and Ginobili take far less, maybe about $6 million a year each. They pull the lever, they max out Leonard, and they max out LaMarcus Aldridge.
No, the conspiracy theory is Duncan sits out till January or February, then comes back on like a minimum deal.
Okay. But, well, here's the thing. Do you believe the Aldridge stuff? Because here's the thing, I have a problem with the Aldridge-San Antonio thing. I don't think it's a good fit. I don't know how good of a fit it really is, unless you're already cluing in that Duncan wants Aldridge to take his place at the power forward position.
It could be, you know, how is it a bad fit when, you know, Duncan came in with David Robinson?
Because Aldridge is he's a good offensive big, but they need that defensive presence outside of Splitter, and I don't think he provides that. I know Boris Diaw isn't a great defender.
Yeah, but you know, San Antonio is known for team defense, not one-on-one lockdown.
Yeah, I don't know. I fear the idea of going out of kind of star hunting for San Antonio. I just don't. It's against type, and I don't.
Well, put it this way: if they don't go star hunting, they're going to be
doomed
in the lottery, because all you're going to have is Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, people like him, but is he a number one option on a team?
And an old Tony Parker and an old Boris Diaw.
An old team with a bunch of Euros. You know, you're not going to, you have a, you know, Duncan has a year, you'd be like, this is the system. This is what, you know, we can play together. We just, you know, need to learn how.
Let's just do bullet point prediction. Tim Duncan and Ginobili both back.
Yeah.
Danny Green, gone?
Gone.
Kawhi Leonard, he gets maxed out this season?
If he doesn't max him out, somebody's going to max him out for them.
Big free agent get, yes or no?
I'll say yes, because every year it's been no for them. They've been standing pat, and this is sort of the year they got exposed, like, wow, we can't just keep standing pat. And
it's kind of old school. Like, I remember in the old days when a really good team got eliminated in the playoffs, the first reaction is, we need something else. You know, like the Celtics did it with Bill Walton, the Bulls did it with Dennis Rodman. Do you feel like the Spurs are kind of doing that, where they have a chink to their armor and they say, okay, we need something?
Well, if they have 1 year left of Tim Duncan and you're going to replace him with nothing, because they're going to make the playoffs next year, so who's the 20th best player in next year's draft? Let's just say, even if it's not a Euro player, who, you know, you're not bringing over all your European guys, so... And next year, when the cap is, well, what good is your $15 million if every other team can literally offer me $15 million as well?
Exactly. All right, we're going to move on to the Pacific Division and talk about the NBA World Champion Golden State Warriors. Where would you rank that as one of the best teams in the last maybe 20 years? Maybe actually, let's just go ahead, like post-Jordan. Like, is that the best?
I thought you were going to rank their championship. I'm like, they're not the top. They're like, I'll say 2000 Lakers.
You think those Shaq Kobe Lakers are probably about as impactful?
You know, they were, you know, two-thirds of the way up. Not the greatest, not even close to the greatest, just two-thirds of the way up.
I mean, fantastic team. 67-15, incredible home record. I'm trying to remember, they only had five losses in the whole postseason. You know, 1-6 games in the finals against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Andre Iguodala winning finals MVP did surprise me, though. I did not expect that. I thought for sure it was either going to be Curry or LeBron.
It should have been LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we can't give it to a losing team. Iguodala was sort of a shock, but, you know, it's one of those
knee-jerk things.
Knee-jerk thing and sort of, well, give it to the guy who's, you know, more so than anybody, he gave in to the team guy. He gave up his star position to become that role player. He, you know, really hadn't, you know, been disappointed until that point, and then all of a sudden stepped it up. And, you know, and again, what does finals MVP mean?
I mean, Chauncey Billups won finals MVP.
You knew where I was going with it. So
who else? Well, Kawhi Leonard winning finals MVP, I had no
problem. Kawhi Leonard won it. Paul Pierce won it.
And Tony Parker won it.
You know, it doesn't encompass the entire. It just said, okay, you had a good 4-7 games.
Like, you know what? I was just thinking about this, and we'll get off. I mean, it's really off track, but we were talking about finals MVPs. Joe Dumars winning in 89. Was he still a Hall of Fame player if he doesn't win finals MVP?
I think so.
Probably. Okay. Because of the longevity?
Because of the longevity. And, you know, that's just sort of, finals MVP is like a nice icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could say you were a champion with or without the MVP.
Is that kind of like the Paul Pierce type of thing where he had a great career, but winning finals MVP really did it for him?
That's just, you're now the finals, you know, between him and Garnett. Garnett, Celtics, you know, NBA champion. Pierce, oh, he was the finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that little extra, you know, defining little
something. But for Iguodala, it's not the same thing. It was like we were talking about with Chauncey. It was like, okay, good for you. That kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
It was, well, you know, Curry sort of was, he didn't do too well. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, he had to shoot him back in a lot of times. Klay Thompson disappeared pretty much.
He was a no-show outside of game two in the NBA Finals. A total no-show.
Yeah, Draymond Green, he gives you where stats, you know, no stats show up in his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, you know, by default, like, okay, he was the best, good for him, you know.
Now,
but quick bullet points on them.
Yeah.
They, you know, whether or not you agree they should max out Draymond Green, they're going to pay him. You got to get rid of David Lee in order to do that. Somebody will take a flyer on him.
Well, either that or the owner's got to pay another $50 million in tax money. And they might do it anyway because their fanfare and their gate, their attendance gate was so good that they might be able to afford it anyway.
Their gate's so good, but I think somebody will take Lee in a first.
Mm-hmm.
What about a team with cap room like New Orleans who has no draft picks?
Please do not tease me with David Lee.
You need draft picks. You have no young people on your roster, period.
Yeah, but they're going to get the Warriors draft pick, which will not even go close. I mean, it'll be like 29th.
Yeah, but you've seen there have been steals late in the draft. Especially this year with, you know, we had people in the first round who didn't get drafted. So you know, it's a crapshoot, and it doesn't hurt to have your pick plus another pick to sort of move up. But, you know, I'm just saying, if you have room and you're sort of in that middle, you know, why not? You know, I'm just teasing them. But, you know, they need to do that. Other than that, what can they do with their roster? Nothing.
Well, Draymond Green, like we said, I think he's getting maxed out no matter what. It's just a matter of what they're able to negotiate. I think these are their major decisions. I mean, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, Curry's back, Thompson's back, Iguodala's back, Andrew Bogut's back, Draymond Green's going to get his deal. Here's their kind of major decisions. do you retain Leandro Barbosa, and how what's his ceiling in terms of salary as an unrestricted free agent? Or do you just take a chance with, you know, another, you know, street value type of point guard and see if you could take your chances there? The other one is Harrison Barnes, and whether or not you're willing to kind of play hardball with his agent and let him play out his last couple of years and then let him walk in free agency in 2 years. Because they're not going to be able to afford him unless they can get David Lee's contract off their books now, or if they move somebody like an Iguodala, which I don't think is feasible, or not signing Draymond Green, which I don't think is feasible either.
They'll let him play out one more year. And
I think Barnes is gone. I think he's the odd one out, is what I'm saying.
He's the odd one out. To me, did he do anything good? No.
He was good in the finals. He was. I thought he played pretty well.
You know, but...
But he was like the fifth best player on the freaking team.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
So, you know, if somebody wants to trade for him, like, okay. Barbosa, you know, I liked him, but he's ton of injuries, and he's also 31, 32 now, I think.
Yeah, and the third one I forgot to mention was David Lee's contract. But, you know, we'll see what they're able to do with it. You know, they just don't want to pay him that last $10 million, and I understand why. You know, if you can move, or I think it's even more than 10. I think it's 20. You know, so is that one of the worst contracts in the history of the NBA? That max deal in 2010. That
because he was good for you till
2013.
Till yeah, so it wasn't when he was bad. Just the system changed. You know, when they needed to get him in order to get like an Iguodala. Mm-hmm. In order to get the, you know, you get the Curry Thompson picks to get the system in.
What you thought of their draft pick of Kevon Looney?
That was the best available guy. So, you could sit him for a while, and he could play in Santa Cruz next year. And
yeah. Now remember, they won the D League championship. Him, Justin Holiday, Seth Curry.
So you were saying how the Pelicans couldn't get anybody at 30? With Looney? Well, you know, there's players available, so...
So you're saying that they might trade Looney and Lee to New Orleans?
No, I was just saying you can get players at the bottom of the first who slide all the way down there. Because you just said there's nobody good down there.
It's hard. It's hard when you get down to, like, 25 and lower. But then again, where did Rudy Gobert go?
You 27th?
Know? I mean, there you go. Let's move on to the L.A. Clippers. Now, I think they're a little strapped as it is. You know, they already had to use the stretch provision. They did take on some more players, though, but they had to unload. Matt Barnes got traded, and they wound up getting Lance Stephenson in that deal. Spencer Hawes also was lumped into that deal, but I don't think they had plans on using Hawes. I think that was a regret that they made.
Horrible decision.
But getting rid of him a year into the 3-year deal wasn't a bad decision.
Well, if somebody's willing to take him.
And the Hornets did. Michael Jordan, the greatest. And then they also got Brandon Dawson, who they just kind of bought. You know, like, where's Brandon Dawson fit here?
I don't know. He might be insurance.
For whom?
For whom?
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Like, is he the new Matt Barnes? Like, what's he supposed to be, you know?
Well, you have Austin Rivers. What are you going to do with him? You have Lance Stephenson. Okay, you have J.J. Redick. You have another, you know, if Austin Rivers goes, you're not going to have money because he was on a, you know, he wasn't even on a rookie deal. He was just on, like, a minimum deal, I think.
Yeah.
No, he's on his rookie deal.
I mean, Lance is talented, man. I've always vouched for Lance Stephenson. When he's going to figure it out is the problem.
Well, he doesn't need to figure it out if he's just willing to be that third piece. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, I know what I could do. I'll be doing it. It was just, you know, the Chicago or Charlotte thought, like, oh, well, he's the number one guy. He will be a number one guy. And he's like, no, I can't be that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Not everyone can. But, you know, the problem now, the Clippers, you hear there's allegedly a rift between Jordan and Chris Paul.
Yes, that Paul and him did not get along, and now Jordan might be on the way out. But he hasn't given – it's not like LaMarcus where he gave fillers out to his team that he's not coming back. With Jordan, there's a good chance he's coming back.
Well, yeah, probably when it's said and done, well, nobody can pay you the max that we can pay you.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Jamal Crawford's team option, I think, will be picked up. I think there's a possibility that Lester Hudson's will, too. Glenn Davis, I'm not sure. Hita Turkoglu, Dante Jones, Ekpe Udoh, no. Austin Rivers will be re-signed because nobody else wants him. I'm really going to be honest with you. I don't think people see the value in Austin Rivers. I think only Doc does.
Yeah, but it's just one of those, you know, veteran minimum players who are, you know, it's
Did just you like just call Austin Rivers a veteran?
Veteran minimum. Oh. Well, he's four-year pro.
My God. We're getting
so,
old.
You know, it's look at Jimmer Fredette. He went to New Orleans on a veteran minimum deal. You have just all these backup assorted players, and he'll be lumped in. Where will he be? You know, will he appear in Cleveland? And will he appear in, you know, Atlanta? Just whoever needs
now,
an extra
the
body.
The one upside to re-signing DeAndre Jordan is he was already making about $11 million. So his new money is not going to be as much of a cap hit as people think. So they are able to afford re-signing him to pretty good money, even at a max level almost, like the same as Blake and Chris Paul. But like you were saying, it's a matter of chemistry and it's a matter of getting along. I think Doc Rivers can make it work, but the problem with the Clippers is that it doesn't have to – and we can rip all this up with this segment. It has nothing to do with signing guys. It has nothing to do with adding pieces like Lance Stephenson. It's about getting that killer instinct in the playoffs, and they can't fucking do it. Like, they just can't.
There's that, and Doc Rivers, the coach, and Doc Rivers, the GM, are two completely different people.
Yes.
And thankfully, Doc Rivers, the GM, didn't do anything stupid during the draft.
Like,
but
are the Clippers going to get better? Like, I don't think so. This is about as good as they're going to be.
And they know that. That's why they've maxed themselves out.
But here's the point. They're going to be really good for another 3 years. It's just a matter of can you take that extra step like Golden State did? I don't think so. You know, after Houston, I don't think so. I think that's in their mind forever.
Well, yeah, but there's always that revenge motive, which seems to spur teams. And until you have that really heart-wrenching moment, you can't get that. You can't get to revenge mode.
Yeah, but they've had a few of them now. All revolving around the same two people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they got to get over the hump somehow. I don't think getting Lance Stephenson is how to do it. You know, it's just
Well, it's a nice pickup.
It is. Because they wound
didn't
up,
make them worse.
Because all they did, the only guy of value that they unloaded to do it was Matt Barnes. And really, what was Matt Barnes providing outside of, you know, a couple of angry fits, you know? Let's talk about the Lakers. They got more busy in the draft than they probably will in free agency. I'm not really sure what they're going to do in free agency yet. We hear rumors about LaMarcus Aldridge, but no one's really sure. I thought that the DeMarcus Cousins stuff was a bunch of BS the moment I heard it, and I never believed any of it. I think that was all kind of perpetrated by Cousins' agent because he doesn't like George Karl, which we had heard about, back in February?
Yeah.
You know, I just think that was all just kind of camp speak. You know, when their representatives go, hey, I heard this, you know.
Well, it's that, and then, you know, the news media of the world who just eats it up, like, oh, the Lakers are going to go after him, the Knicks are going, like, you're talking about the teams that have zero assets to actually get him.
They think the Laker fans think they're going to luck into that easy deal every single time. They think that they're going to get bailed out every single time because they've been bailed out so many times. You know, trading Kobe, getting Kobe for Vlade Divac, getting Magic Johnson for Gil Goodrich, getting getting Pau Gasol for Kwame Brown. They always think that they're going to luck into a great deal, and I think GMs are smarter than they used to be.
The funny thing is, they don't even have the Kwame Brown to offer this time.
Yes, they have nothing.
Well, what are you going to do? We go to the number two pick, 17 minutes of Julius Randle,
and we have 38-year-old Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, they like you don't have pieces. You don't even have your first round pick next year, so we don't want to. I don't want your first round pick 4 years from now, and you're going to be good. So
they got now. Julius Randle didn't play at all in 2014. Hopefully he can come back from the broken leg that he suffered. I think he's good. And number two, they took D'Angelo Russell. Did you think that was a risk?
No, and if that's what you wanted, if you want that, you know, you claim was the best point guard on the board, and superstar talent.
I did. I think Jordan Clarkson being there wasn't something that should have hindered them in their decision making. Thankfully, they agreed.
You know, it basically said is, yeah, we're not going to trade for, you know, we're not going to try to sign a veteran like Rondo or, you know, it's like, okay, here's our guy, here's our young, you know, we're going to start building a young future, and then they'll go buy, you know, try to buy Kevin Love or try to buy.
Did you think passing on Jahlil Okafor was a mistake?
Well, I don't, you know, it was a legitimate question. Couldn't Okafor and Randall really fit together?
I think they could have, because Randall's more of a mobile big, and he's a left-hander, whereas, you know, Okafor uses his right hand, and he's more of a post player. So I don't think they would have gotten in each other's way too much. I mean, remember, Randall played with Willie Cauley-Stein.
Oh, yeah.
And Dakari Johnson, who are big, fat bigs, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, they're big, fat bigs, but they weren't, you know, Cauley-Stein wasn't looking for anything.
Cauley-Stein's not fat. He's just, he's like a Gumby, you know, whereas, you know, Dakari Johnson was. But, yeah, Russ, you know, the thing is, it's so extreme. You know, Russell is a smaller two-guard who can pass. Okafor is this big, giant center. So it's so like, okay, you're going this way. You're going either one or you're going five. And they went one, you know, so it's a good risk, but it is still a risk.
It's a risk, and, you know, all you hear is they're going to go offer max money to Kevin Love. They're going to offer max money to...
I think the Kevin Love thing is real. I think Kevin
they're going to offer max money to LaMarcus Aldridge. All their targets are fives. Mm-hmm. So why would you, you know, draft a five when, well, you know, you're also looking to bring in a high-priced five?
What is their biggest need? Is it in the paint since they passed on Okafor?
Their biggest need is talent, which they have none now.
So you have Marcus Aldridge is a big target here.
You have a rookie. You have a kid who played, again, 17 minutes, and that was it, or 7 minutes. And then you have literally nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, oh, you know, Jordan Clarkson, and that's it. And I thought they cut everybody else.
What about, so you're looking for talent. What about Greg Monroe?
Like I said, they're just going to offer a max to him, offer a max to Aldridge. Whoever takes it, takes it.
Yeah, you got Brandon Knight. I don't see that. I'm just kind of scanning through these kind of like the needs, and point guard is no longer a need. Jimmy Butler, don't see it. Wes Matthews, even though his dad played for the Lakers when they won a championship, I don't see that. I don't know. I think they're in a tough situation this summer. I think they're in a better situation next summer. To be honest with you, I think Kevin Love is the guy they might go after, and then LaMarcus Aldridge. If they can't get either one of them, they'll just sit on their money for next year, and then they'll make the move.
Well, like the money. Also, you know, it's a strain. They're in rare territory. It's like I think people are starting to realize that LA isn't the premier destination it used to be. Since you have Golden States are winning, and Dallas won, and San Antonio's and Miami's. Like, you just get people who, you know, play with other people, as opposed to you need to go to one of the two big cities to win.
Yeah, you just got to get lucky, you know, and the Lakers just haven't hit that. They thought they got lucky with the Dwight Howard deal, but it turned out the joke was on them, you know. And for Miami, they just got really lucky landing LeBron. The Spurs are just a totally different organization from the rest of the teams. They just run things so smoothly. Dallas, I could kind of say they probably got lucky a little bit. And then Golden State, with their draft picks over the last 5 years, they all panned out pretty well outside of maybe one, you know. So you just got to get a couple of deals to go your way. And when you're at number two, like the Lakers have, and they hadn't been in that position in a long, long time since they took James Worthy in the early 80s, you got to hit a home run. I just hope they did with D'Angelo Russell. I think he's kind of the next generation type of point guard, kind of like a Damian Lillard. I just hope it works out for him. I did not like the Larry Nance Jr. pick at number 27 because you're giving him a first-round rookie contract, and I don't think he's even worthy of playing in the NBA. So,
wow.
I'm sorry. I just don't think he's that good. And then Anthony Brown at 34. Okay. I mean, if he makes the – he's like Ryan Kelly to me. If he makes the roster, great. If not, do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like I think they treated that late first round or just like a second round pick. It's like, look, we got these guys.
Yeah, but here's the difference, like, though. When you're a first round pick, you get the guaranteed 3 years.
Well, 2 years.
Okay, you're right. You're right. But
it's 2 years, though. It's...
But it's tough to move him that third year unless somebody likes him. You know, it's, and I don't know about Larry Nance.
Body, and you know, if he fits and if he sees fits a need you can have or becomes the type of player you want him to, hey, you know what? Is that these? Nobody's expecting Hall of Fame with a 27th pick.
Okay, let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. Their draft pick was pretty good. They got Devin Booker at number 13. I thought it was actually a decent fit. People will laugh because they took a guard and they had all this obsession with the guards. But now that they traded away Dragic and Isaiah Thomas, they actually did need a guard. So they got a shooting. They got a 3-point shooter, a tall guy who's got good agility. I think it's actually a good fit.
Yeah, it works.
you're lost for words here.
Well, sometimes it's just, you know, you get a fit, you get a match. What can you possibly?
Mm-hmm.
How can you talk about? Yep, they got a match.
It was either him or Archie Goodwin. I mean, and I like Archie Goodwin a little bit, but I don't want him starting on my team. I'd rather Booker doing it. Their restricted free agents, Brandon Knight, after they made the swap, you know, involving Michael Carter Williams and then eventually Isaiah Thomas. Do you think they'll re-sign him at about, like, whatever he asks for, like $13 million, $12
million? Who?
Brandon Knight.
They have to. Because it's one of those, well, you need to save face. You trade for him with the intention of something. You're not going to blow up your team to then let the guy you traded for just go. Who played well for you? Was he anything spectacular? No, but... You know, whatever.
I've never been big on Brandon Knight. I thought he maxed out in Milwaukee. And even though he had the ankle problems in Phoenix, I think there's something more to it. I think Jason Kidd just did a really good job with him, and he can't duplicate it anywhere else. So if they give him that money to just – it's like Eric Gordon. They gave him that money to justify the Chris Paul trade in New Orleans. Hey, look what we got. We got this valuable player. Well, how you know he's valuable? Well, we just gave him $15 million a year. That doesn't make him valuable. That makes him overpaid. You know, and I feel like with Brandon Knight, we might have the same problem.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing is, well, why would you trade for him in the first place? It would just be like, look, we blew up our team. We got this guy, and then we just let him go, and we don't really, you know.
Yeah, that's the Laker route with Dwight Howard. Let a guy leave for nothing. That's the big fear. Nobody wants to have a player walk away for nothing.
Yeah, but the Lakers are delusional where they go like, oh, we'll just get somebody else.
Well, Cleveland, whereas, too. It happened to Cleveland, too, with LeBron.
Yeah, you just leave, and, well, you know, we traded for him. He's going to be our future. Oh, he just left. Well, we'll be good.
The unrestricted free agents, these guys are small potatoes. Kendall Marshall, Earl Barron, John Salomons. I mean, no. Yeah. Gerald Green is interesting. Like, I think he can be valuable on a playoff team, and that's where I think he's going to wind up going.
Well, people are – he's strangely a very high or low opinion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from people have on him. It's, you know, like, oh, he's a bust, or oh, he's – how did he get buried? We don't know. But the problem is all the free agents are all small people, and, you know, we've mentioned many times you got the Morrises in there. You need somebody, another
– they need another big man.
You need another big Alex Len. Who's backing up Alex Len? Mm-hmm. Plumlee?
Well, you got the guard in Booker. I don't know how quickly he can progress, but here's my problem. You re-signed Eric Bledsoe. Now you're in a situation where you might have to re-sign Brandon Knight. I think that rumor about Eric Bledsoe being moved to the Knicks was true. I think they really are shopping Bledsoe because they're realizing that if you tie up about $25 to $30 million on 2 point guards, it's going to be really hard to find a good big in the open market or to sign a superstar player. And I think they really do want to either move one of those guys or they want to sign one and trade the other. And I feel like with Bledsoe, that's the one who's going to get traded eventually. Because they know that other teams are going to find value with Bledsoe right now, and they want to pull the trigger on a trade before his value starts to slip.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Bledsoe. I like him more than Brandon Knight. But I feel like the Suns are trying to justify that trade by re-signing Knight, and I don't know if keeping Knight and Bledsoe together makes sense.
It's cheap. Knight will be cheaper than Bledsoe, so...
That's another thing, too. They might not have to play as much hardball on signing a deal with Knight like they did with Bledsoe. Remember, Bledsoe, they had to wait that thing out until, like, October because the agent just refused to sign their deal because they wanted to wait it out to try to get as good of an offer sheet as possible. Then when they heard an offer sheet was coming from, I think it was the Timberwolves, then they pulled the trigger on a deal.
Yep.
So I'm not sure about Brandon Knight with offer sheets though. I mean, what is his value? That's my problem with Brandon Knight. Like, what is his value?
He doesn't really have the super high value right now.
But he's good enough to get more than $10
million. He's good enough, but is he, you know, as we mentioned in our point guard rankings, a lot of teams have point guards they're content with. So there's a few spots out there, but he's competing with Reggie Jackson now for some cash. And
yeah. We talk about blowing up teams right now. I felt like Phoenix blew up their team in February.
They blew up their team and nobody knew why.
Yeah, that's
still nobody knows why.
I don't know. I felt like that there was just like a discourse and direction there between the GM, the coach, and maybe the owner, and they just – and then the players got caught up, and then they said, okay, I want to get out of here. And
so, you know, you might lose that. You're going to lose Brandon Wright, too. He'll be gone.
Okay. And if you think that's a mess, this one's an even bigger mess, and that's the Sacramento Kings. Is it ever good when an owner disagrees with a coach about trading a star player?
The owner is thinking of cutting the coach now, and the coach, well, he said he'd be okay with him, and it's just all, this is the problem sort of with hands-on owners.
I mean, but no one knew that about Vivek. I mean, people were celebrating Vivek Renadive because he basically bailed him out from getting moved to Seattle or getting moved to another city, and now he's being looked at as this hands-on, you know, an owner that gets in everybody's business. You know, I mean, is there such an owner that doesn't get in anybody's business like this when, you know, all these new ones? I mean, even the Bucks. Remember, the Bucks swooped in and they fired Larry Drew out of nowhere and hired Jason Kidd. I mean, it seems like all these new owners that are buying in are very, very intrusive.
Well, yeah, but this is sort of this industry then. Well, he didn't know this would happen, or you know, who would know? Who'd have known that immediately after he fired his coach, the team fell apart because they had no identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would that happen? It's just like he's doing things before he's realizing, you know, they're being done. And he's like, okay, I'm going to get, you know, a well-respected coach, been, you know, league forever. All right. Oh, I didn't know he would have some contentious time with his players.
Here's my problem, and I'm not trying to defend Boogie Cousins because I think he's in the wrong too. I don't know if George Karl is even worth this much trouble.
No, he's not, but the problem is Cousins is too old to be doing this shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's more of a representation of what the player is supposed to be doing. The player shouldn't be so steadfast against his coach, regardless of who the coach is. It speaks to a bigger problem.
Well, with Cousins, it's sort of like, you know, they talked to me about being the centerpiece, and now you have the coach who's like, I'm going to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not his fault that, but it's just, you know, you shouldn't just have to be a complete nightmare to deal with, especially you've been in the league as long as you've been in it.
There's only one other conspiracy theory I can throw at you, and it's kind of like a David Blatt, Dan Gilbert thing. He's using George Karl. The truth is Vivek actually wants to trade Cousins for value, but he's using Karl as the fall guy so that he doesn't look bad if the deal goes wrong. Now, that's far-fetched.
Well, that's a little too far-fetched because
that's like 3 days at the Condor far-fetched.
Like, you don't, because the problem is, as you know, much of a headache is he's the most beloved guy on that team, and he is essentially the team.
Oh, he's the best center in the NBA. I am going to say he is the best center in the NBA. He averages 25 points and 12 rebounds, and he doesn't even hustle. He doesn't.
So it's, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, it's the old everybody's available. If somebody, you know, if somebody went to Miami and just said, you know, well, I'll trade you Anthony Davis for Dwayne Wade. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, as much as, you know, as good as he is, if unless you're the number one player, you know, if you're the best player in the league, you know, well, I'm going to offer you the best player for the second best. You know, I might have to take you up on that.
I did like their pick of Willie Cauley-Stein at number six. That was their only pick, but I think they hit it.
Well, that was the safest pick is, well, you need, you know, you need somebody to essentially replace Jason Thompson.
Yeah, offensively, he's a non-factor. Defensively, he's an all-factor. You know, he can be ready right away. You know, he'll never be a rookie of the year type because or an MVP type because he offensively he's not that impactful of a player. I know I've heard some people say that he's been working on three-pointers and jump shots and such, but I still don't see it. Just from watching his like the hitch in his shot and the way he does, I just don't see it. Defensively is where his strengths are, and that's really what the Kings needed in the worst way. They needed a defender, and they got the best one.
Yeah. That's what they needed. Now they just need, you know, they need to trade for Denver's exorcism coach because
I'll try to get Mike Malone back.
Just no, they're priest to exorcise the demons from this team now.
You know, free agency, we haven't talked about it yet because there really isn't much there. I think their only big decision is whether or not to keep Derek Williams at $8 million as a restricted free agent or just pull the qualifying offer and let him walk. After that, Andre Miller, Omri Caspi, Reggie Evans, it's Ryan Hollins. It's like the island of misfit toys. Like, it's you could pretty much niche anybody into that team, and I would say, yeah, that's about as good as what they already had.
You know? Oh, yeah. Well.
They just don't really have much there. I know they hit their stride early in the season, and then when they dropped off, Malone got fired into a rush job. But I feel like they need something else, and if a trade has to happen in order to make it happen, then maybe that's the best route. But I don't think Cousins is the guy to use. I think Rudy Gay is the one that you have to use to trade.
Yeah, but how much value does Rudy Gay have? And the problem is they need a point guard still.
Well, you can thank Pete D'Alessandro, formerly of the Kings, for re-signing him in, what, November? December?
Yeah.
And I didn't like – I know it was only a four-year deal, but I did not like that deal because you're giving a 30-year-old player – I think he's 30, right?
He's close, 29, 30 maybe, yeah.
I mean, giving him 4 years, I didn't understand it. And now George Karl's trying to move him. That was the one problem with hiring a coach after you already made your biggest free agency deals. What if they don't work? What if they don't get along? Now you're stuck with them. And yeah, that's where they're at.
You have all these high-priced guys who weren't yours. Yeah, yeah, they're going to rescind the qualifying offer and be like, you want to come back for $4 million? Want to come back for $3 or $4 million? You know, he wasn't terrible and, you know, as a number two pick, yeah, utter disappointment. But, you know, as a backup.
He started to come around at the end of the year.
As a backup, he's not too bad. He comes back cheap. I see no problem with that. But, you know, obviously who's the, you know, every former Nuggets player is rumored to go to Sacramento. And Rondo's there and every point guard because that's what they need. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard the Rondo one. I mean... I don't want to say it makes sense, but if they can just sign him for 1 year because Rondo knows that he's in damage control and he has to do what Monte Ellis did and basically only play temporarily to prove that he can still play hard, maybe that is a good fit for him. You know, go to the Island of Misfit Toys. 2 years
of the player option?
Yeah, Island of Misfit Toys. Yep. Maybe it works for him. But, you know, that
might...
I got to get away from this. We're going to get away from the Kings. We're going to talk about the Northwest Division and talk about the Denver Nuggets first. we just got done talking about the Kings. We're talking about another toxic team that's in need of an exorcism, like you say.
Let's just blow through this quickly.
Today,
great pick. Who knows what they're going to do? You could trade anybody. You could trade nobody. I don't know.
Emmanuel Mudiay might wind up being okay, but does that spell the end of Ty Lawson?
Not necessarily.
Everyone is saying, "Oh, Ty Lawson is getting traded. He's going to the Knicks."
Well, that's the problem. Is you have that just shows you the problem. If the first thing your response to do is tweet "So long, guys," mm-hmm. You know that just shows you're not. You're maybe.
I do like when players tweet about other players' draft picks. Like Joel Embiid when Jahlil Okafor was okay, LOL. That was like, that one good. Another one was when Kristaps got picked and Brandon Jennings said, man, this Knick crowd is hot. I just love how basketball players just randomly, that like the first random thought they have, they put it out there in the open public for everybody to see. That's great. I love that. That's one thing that Twitter has brought to us that I enjoy. Players randomly saying things that they'll later regret. Just ask Larry Nance Jr.
Yep.
Ooh, speaking of Denver. too soon?
Denver is a mess. Denver will have to make trades. You know, reports where Gallinari was offered to a lot of teams over the draft period.
He's in the last year of his deal. So is Wilson Chandler. I've heard Wilson Chandler's name mentioned a couple of times.
Chandler's name, you know, you have Nurkic, who's the centerpiece of your new future.
Gary Harris is there.
Harris, Nurkic, and Moutier are now your new three young guys.
You can't move for Reed.
You can't move for Reed, but the problem with
I don't say that because he's so valuable. It's that no one, you can't move the contract.
It's not that the contract isn't movable. He was playing, you know, okay, he was a malcontent, but also the system didn't fit him at all.
Do you think Mike Malone can turn that around that much?
We never, if they want to go back to a little run-and-gun style, yes, he can.
I didn't really see run-and-gun in Sacramento. That's what worries me.
Well, with Boogie, can you, if he felt like playing, and you have Jason Thompson and Misfit Toys, you know,
yeah, Moutier might be a decent backup if Lawson stays and then they trade him later, which is possible. The other one, they got a draft and stash from Europe named Nikola Radosevic from Serbia. They got a lot of good Serbians out there, man. It seemed like Serbia's starting to corner the market on draft and stash.
Serbia's the hot spot now. It was Turkey like 2 years ago.
Weren't they the ones that went to the finals of the FIBA World Cup against USA? They beat France in the semis, I believe.
France hasn't done anything in a while.
No. They beat Spain in the quarterfinals of that tournament.
I'm saying the new up-and-comers, the young kids, not the veterans.
I don't know, dude. I wouldn't want to play a team that has Rudy Gobert and Boris Diaw.
This will be a topic for another day, I believe. I believe we have enough to discuss this, I think.
Free agency, not much there, really. They're kind of stuck. You know, it's kind of like Sacramento, weirdly. Darrell Arthur and Victor Claver. Victor Claver was hurt anyway. They dumped him in the air in a Flalo deal. Restricted free agent. Will Barton. I like Will Barton. You're not as high on him.
They're a dime a dozen.
Okay, so what do they go after here? Like, they, I think they probably need a guard the most. But, like, what guard?
They need to make a trade. Loosen up somebody and then
trade Lawson for needed. A shooting guard.
Yep. Or you need a backup center. Joffrey Laverne isn't. I mean, we don't know what he could do, but you need a backup. You need a backup big. You need a shooting guard.
How about trade Cousins to Denver for Lawson and some first round picks?
You know, it's just I don't. Who knows?
No, I'm joking. I think that's a terrible idea. It's impossible to do.
This team needs to move somebody before you can bring somebody in.
How about Ty? I'm just trying to think. Maybe Kevin Martin in Minnesota, but Minnesota doesn't need point guards right now. Maybe Portland? Portland seems to be on the take for a lot of deals. Because free agency, I don't think it's going to help them much. I think a trade is necessary, like you said.
Yeah, that's the thing is, well, who are you going to trade? I don't know. Your head can explode going after all of this.
That's the problem with trades, like when we do these previews. When you talk trades, I mean, anything can happen. With free agency, we know who the free agents are. We know who they're going to go after. With trades, anything can happen. There could be somebody traded tomorrow that I didn't even think would be a traded. You know, look at Nick Batum. I didn't think he'd get traded.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, they need to do something before we can even figure out what they're trying to do.
Okay, so now we don't know what the Nuggets or the Kings are trying to do, but we do know what the Minnesota Timberwolves are trying to do. Now, listen, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves, in terms of being bad, I think they're doing it the right way. Like, they tried to actually be competitive in vain early in the season. They tanked hard late, and then they got the top pick, and they made the right move with the top pick, taking Karl Anthony Towns. Now, just because you're doing things right doesn't mean you're going to get it right later. But do you feel like they're getting it right now?
Well, you get the number one pick, you know, you have...
It's hard to fuck up, yeah.
Well, don't tell Cleveland that. You got your picks, you know, again, injuries were a main reason they were horrible. They're not trying to be bad. You're not trying to be bad by giving away as much salary as you did as that team has. It's just, you know, you lose Kevin Love, you replace him with young people who don't know what they're doing, and... You know, you made an attempt. You gave Rubio money. You gave, I can't even think of the center's name. Bekovich money. You give all these people money, so you're not trying to tank if you're going to keep them around for long term.
Do the Timberwolves have that new car smell to them? Where people are looking at them and say, well, they're going to be bad now, but they might be like kind of like the Thunder back in 08, where you're like, you know, they're going to suck now, but they're going to be really good later.
Well, it's not that. I wouldn't say new car smell. I'd just say it's that fresh air of people want to play there, as opposed to you hear, like, you remember Stephon Marbury is like, oh, God, this is horrible. Yeah, or,
nobody wants to play for Philadelphia. That's one
example. Yeah, there's places like people are just avoiding. Like, you had Wiggins like, yo, Minnesota, let's do this. Anthony Towns is like, I'm going to be the face of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want.
I love Karl Anthony Towns. I don't think they screwed this one up. Do you have reservations, though?
What's your reservations?
No, yours. What's yours?
I don't have any. I just said they can't do anything. You're done on free agency. You have to stay on Pat. Maybe get rid of Kevin Martin. Maybe, you know, start thinning out a couple extra spots of people you don't need.
I would say try to move Gorgui Dieng for value. Because I liked Gorgui Dieng, but now that you have Pekovic and Towns, I don't know if he has a place there.
Well, the thing is, people would rather move Pekovic before Dieng.
But will anyone take Pekovic's contract? I mean, if I could move that contract, I'd do it.
I think people would take it.
Okay. Then maybe that's a good move for them. Somebody could move. They could move Pekovic, and then all of a sudden you can ease in Dieng, Karl Anthony Towns, and try to get a veteran.
The problem is all they have too many young people now, and you're just now starting to create log jams. You have depth everywhere, so you can't add. You know, every year it's okay, what backup point guard do they offer 4 years, $16 million for? Because they do it every year, and. You know, this year they have all their pieces, and just now let's just sit and wait for 2 years till they get better.
Was getting Tyus Jones the steal of the draft for 2 second-rounders, basically?
It's kind of hard to say the steal of the draft's a backup.
I don't know if he'll be a backup. I think he might take Ricky Rubio's spot in a few years. I think now people disagree with me about this, but I think Rubio is one of the most overrated players in the NBA.
Well, he was overrated because he was set up to have this unbelievable hype, and if you just
tore his ACL, yeah.
Yeah, if he played at Villanova or, you know, Kentucky or whatever, it'd be like, oh, how is he? Yeah, he's decent, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is they brought in so much hype with him, and the fact they screwed up the draft so bad, it's like, well, no, he's our cornerstone, he's our guy. I refuse to give Kevin Love max money because I need to save it for Rubio. Nobody told him that.
Gary Neal is gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin Garnett might come back, though. He loves Flip Saunders.
He's going to come back as a player coach, and, you know, he has no desire to be an actual coach, but he's going to be there to teach Anthony Towns, you know, how to play defense and teach these bigs and get that winning mentality in them.
What about Robbie Hummel as a restricted free agent? I mean, he wound up playing for a little while there.
Yeah, they wound up getting a guy off the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, literally, they were in New York. They signed some guy who was in New York at the time because they needed a body. So, you know, that's the problem is, you know, Robbie Hummel, oh, he's good. He played. Well, yeah, but you could get any free, you know, minimum deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Stan Patton, wait a year or two.
My problem, though, with Flip is that he doesn't run. So now you got a team with Wiggins and Zach LaVine, and Karl Anthony Towns is pretty fast, too. And now, and you got this mix with Rubio's kind of slow, Kevin Martin, who plays at his own pace, Pekovic, who's slow. I feel like there is, like you said, a little bit of a logjam there where you've got these guys that want to play fast that you're bringing on up, and then you've got these veterans here that are very, very set in their ways. And I feel like eventually the fast guys are going to win out. I also think that it's going to take a change in direction there in terms of their pace. And I don't think Flip Saunders likes to play at that pace. That's my one problem with it.
Yeah,
the guys that are making the picks are telling them, oh, you would fit great in this style, but that's not the style we're going to play.
Well, we'll see. Saunders has been known for getting everything out of his players. And if everybody can stay healthy, they don't need to spend any in free agency. They can just sit and here's our team.
Free agency-wise, I don't think they're going to be active at all.
Let's figure out what our team is. Mm-hmm. And, that's the Timberwolves.
All right, we have a team with a new coach in Billy Donovan. That's the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just missed the playoffs, even though Russell Westbrook had the season of a lifetime. Kevin Durant's going to be back, and then we're going to hear all the rumors about the free agency, but we'll leave that for another day because I'm not terribly worried about it. But let's get to this. They already swung a deal where they got they shipped out Jeremy Lamb, but did they even get anything in return?
No, and that was the last piece of the Harden trade. Was they got room to re-sign Cantor.
Okay, so re-signing Cantor makes sense for them, you'd say?
Well, if they let Cantor go, they have no center now.
Well, you have Ibaka.
And who's to play the four?
Who's going to play the four?
Steven Adams?
Perry Jones the third.
Adams took a step back, and, by default, you kind of need to keep them.
Okay, so they kind of put themselves in a position there because they surrendered, a couple of assets to get Cantor that they have to keep him. But and they didn't draft one either. They got Dakari Johnson at number 48, but
I thought he was a guaranteed first rounder. And
did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I thought because bigs go high that they were going to take him, but the problem is he's just a wide body. He's not going to play no more than about maybe 20 minutes in the NBA.
He'll be in the Philippine League with Daniel Orton. And
that was all just wind up to do a freaking Daniel Orton joke. Cameron Payne, though, was solid. They needed a backup point guard and a real backup point guard. Not what Russell Westbrook's not even a point guard. Russell Westbrook's from fucking outer space, but Cameron Payne is a true point guard. So I think that actually made sense.
Oh, yeah. They needed a backup and they addressed those needs. And there's not much they can do with what they got. So, that's another team just sort of has to stand pat and, well, we're going to be back in the playoffs. We traded a malcontent backup point guard for a real one. You got Deion Waiters, who nobody's going to take, so you have to ride it out with him.
Yeah, you still got, I think Anthony Morrow has a team option coming up, so he'll be back. Perry Jones will be back. Nick Collison re-signed. I think Steven Adams still is pretty good. I mean, the problem with Sam Presti is that since Harden, he really hasn't hit a home run, draft-wise. I don't know if Cameron Payne's going to be that guy. The best draft pick they've had since then is Steven Adams,
Yeah, and he...
I apologize. Reggie Jackson was a good one in 2011.
I don't know. You're higher on him than I am.
Yeah.
But, again, this is another team that just sort of has to stand pat, and they know they're going to be back in the playoffs. They know they'll be... competitive with what they have, and there's really nothing you can do than just hope that Deion Waiters decides to come to reality.
Well, they're in a position where they can't add. They can't add any pieces. They just have to keep the pieces that are intact, including Enes Kanter, who's a restricted free agent. What about Kyle Singler?
They'll keep him.
Yeah, but what does he demand? $4 million?
Yeah, he's not going to demand too much.
Okay.
they'll keep them because they've you know have a tendency to you know keep their own, and they haven't. They're not big free agent people anyways, usually. So stick with what you got, and you got a new coach, and give the coach a shot with the team as opposed to blowing it up and radically doing something.
And that talks about the Portland Trailblazers.
Portland,
I think you just gave me a segue, huh?
Portland is, you know, we had mentioned this previously early in the season, like this is the last year for them, and potentially they got dark days ahead, and lo and behold.
You're right. We said that in the team previews. We said the end is coming sooner for Portland than people think.
And how many people said it besides us?
Nobody. Nobody.
Finally, we're right on something.
Yeah, I think we said that in the team previews. I said their window is actually about to close. Because we don't know about Aldridge, and Damian Lillard needs that money, and we don't know about Nicholas Batum and Wes Matthews. And now they're in a position where Matthews is an unrestricted free agent. I think he'll get good money because he's a 3-and-D guy. I know he tore his Achilles tendon, but I think he can demand about $13 million a year. Robin Lopez is a free agent too. So you're in a position where you have to choose one big over the other, or you just lose both of them, kind of like Utah did with Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap. And Aaron Aflalo opted out. They traded Steve Blake away. The one pick they got that I liked is Pat Connaughton, you know, because they got the Nets pick at number 41 when they made the deal with Steve Blake, and their number 23 pick. I like Connaughton a lot.
So they got an athletic two.
Yes.
Sort of a smaller Wesley Matthews who they might lose.
Maybe, yeah, potential replacement.
You know, little replacement thing you got. Yeah,
but Pat Connaughton's a white player. You can only compare him to other white players.
you know, you got Vonleh. Oh, could it be a little replacement for Aldridge? If he loses?
I had an argument with someone else about this. Is it too early to give up on a 19-year-old if you don't think he can do it?
No. It is too early to give up on him if he's making $8 million, Anthony Bennett. But you have, you know, 1 year, it's called development, and coaches don't want to develop players.
Or is it possible that the coaches already knew that he wasn't going to make it? Or is it impossible to tell?
No, it's impossible to tell because everybody says all these kids come in from their AAU teams thinking they're all Kobe. They don't bother learning anything in their half season at college because they know they're one and done. And they still have that irrational swagger of, I'm the shit. And then once you get to the league, it's just like, you know, look at James Young. He's buried the entire year in Maine in the D League because, well, you don't know how to play anything. You can't play defense. Therefore, you're not good enough to be on the team. None of these kids want to play defense. That's the problem.
Let's map out a timeline for Portland. And even though a lot of it is behind closed doors, we'll do it as quickly as possible. Matthews tears his Achilles. Nicholas Batum has a string of injuries involving his wrist throughout the season that he never recovers from. That also includes the thumb injury from LaMarcus Aldridge. They go into the playoffs completely banged up. They lose to the Grizzlies in 5 games. And this is where I think the events kind of sequenced. LaMarcus Aldridge told Neil O'Shea that he wasn't going to re-sign with Portland. O'Shea trades Batum as the first step of rebuilding the team because he knows he's not going to get either of them back. He's also going to let Wesley Matthews walk.
Yeah, he has a little head start. So
then Aflalo gets in the know about this and opts out.
Well, I thought Aflalo was opting out to begin with because
I don't think he's going to make more than $7 million. That's my problem.
I don't think it's a matter of making as much money as he did. I don't think he was just a fit where he was. It was more, he was supposed to be just backup.
Yeah, but he got hurt. I don't know how much of that was injuries or not playing well. I'm not sure. It's hard to say. Damian Lillard's going to get his max deal probably in the summer. That's the one guy that's probably going to be in on this. I don't see Damian Lillard being unhappy if he gets max money. They still have CJ McCollum as the backup guard. He played well in the playoffs. Myers Leonard started to turn a corner. But after that, man, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they're in a really tough spot here.
That's why you trade for Vonleh. Let's, you know, he doesn't know how to play. We know we're going to be bad. Let's take a year off and let's teach him. And
yeah. Now, Mason Plumlee coming in, I think, means bye-bye for Robin Lopez.
Well, Robin Love, if you have already talks of, you know, Boston was going to pitch Love on the next big three with Robin Lopez, like, well, that just means teams are ready to overpay for him already.
Is that an actual big three or is that like a mini three?
That was just like, really? Kevin Love, Robin Lopez, and Paul Pierce, that's what you're going to pitch him on? Like, all right, dude. Yeah.
They also got Gerald Henderson from the Hornets, who never gets hurt, and he always averages about 11 points a game.
Yeah, he's not really good. He's just
there. they do have room in cap space if LaMarcus leaves for free agents. Do you think they'll try to re-sign Wes Matthews, or you think he's out?
I think he might as well just out and start over and get some cap money. Because they did it once. They showed how to do it by acquiring all these picks and people. And you're just going to throw money at Wesley Matthews and waste his prime with a half-decent team?
Yeah, and they also made good picks, and they held on to the good picks. Like, they re-signed Batum back in, I think, like, 2012. You know, they did make a couple of moves. They tried to make a couple of moves. I remember they tried to sign Roy Hibbert, and the deal got matched when he was restricted. They re-signed LaMarcus Aldridge a long time ago. I think that was back in like 2010 that they re-signed him. And then they made a great pick with Damian Lillard when they fell into the lottery because they weren't in the lottery that many times. So,
well, yeah, but
the good picks they had, they held on to him. I'm not sure about Connaughton at 41. He might just be okay. You know.
Yeah, but then you make the Lillard pick, and then you're picking 10th, or you pick CJ McCollum when there's bigger.
I like McCollum, though.
You know, you like McCollum, you like Leonard, but Leonard's shown absolutely nothing to this point.
He can shoot threes. That's it, though.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We might be in a situation where they might have to rely on Allen Crabbe. Not good.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just best, if you're going to blow up, don't re-sign Matthews and then let your two big guys go and don't replace them.
Yeah, because you're going to have an unhappy Matthews if they start losing and then you wind up trading him anyway.
So. Exactly. So either go all in or go all out. Okay. So, you know, that's pretty much Portland in a nutshell.
This team's not all in or all out. They're just kind of going through the process, and that's the Utah Jazz. Their draft picks were kind of like, they were very Utah. It was very like, okay, that makes sense. Number 12, they took Trey Lyles, who's like kind of an oversized small forward / undersized power forward. I know he's 6'10", so he'll play power forward in the NBA, but he's got a very like long, he's got long arms, but he's got no meat to his bones, but he's got decent mid-range game. And then they took Olivier Hanlon, who's like a 6'4" point guard out of Boston College. He scored a bunch of points at Boston College, but they think that he's more patterned as a point guard because of his frame. So I thought those were decent picks because I think those fit two needs that I thought they needed. I thought they needed some athleticism, which they got in Lyles, and I thought they needed a taller guard, and they got that in Hanlon.
Well, the problem with that is Hanlon's a point guard. You know, he's a combo. They don't need that if you have Trey Burke and Exum there.
That's true.
You know, the problem is you have
traded.
You have Alec Burks, you know, who was starting off as a point guard. They moved it to a two when they gave him that money. Mm-hmm. He has no backup. So I guess if you want that, you know, this sort of combo backcourt where anybody can play either two, that's fine. You know, Lyles is just what is he? He'll be like the Patrick Patterson, not the sexy pick. He's going to come in. He's going to be the backup to Favors or Gobert, and he'll do what you need him to do. And
I think he can score around from like about 15 feet in. I think he's one of those kind of players.
Just a solid pick.
They compare him to Boozer, but I think people are really reaching there. I think he reminds me more of like Stacey Augman.
No, he's not a Boozer because Boozer had that mean rebounding.
And he was strong. Yeah, it's not the same player, you know? He was a true power forward. I don't think Trey Lyles is a true power forward, you know? Another comparison I made to Lyles a long time ago was Matt Barnes. He reminds me of Matt Barnes when he was at UCLA.
Yeah, you can do that, but you know, I don't really have free agency stuff for them because they sort of addressed it with the draft. You know, what do they need? They need backup big, they need backup guards.
And no offense to Utah, I think we already talked about this in a previous show, but it's not a sexy place to go. Like,
no.
It's not like, oh yeah, let's go to Utah. Like, I don't think any players are really in that mindset. So it's going to be hard to find a team that's really ready made to go there. That's the problem.
You know, you have Gordon Hayward, who probably most underrated player in the league.
Yeah, they could get somebody like a Rodney Stuckey and Al-Farouq Aminu.
It was like in my old, very outdated notes, I was like, oh, they should trade for Grievous Vasquez. Just an unsexy pick who, you know, they have the players they want. They've tanked. They got their draft picks. You have favors. You got your cornerstones. Now you just have to hope they pan out for you or you'll be watching on TV just like we are.
Is Gobert becoming that kind of pick? The kind where you're like, how did that happen?
No, Gobert, I'm just hoping, isn't a one and done pick where they figured out his game this year and he took a major step back. It's like, uh-oh, we put all our eggs in for this.
Yeah, like a Sean Bradley.
No, I wouldn't say that drastic.
Okay.
Like, if the development continues with him, awesome. But if he's just sort of like, what is he? He's regressed mightily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the problem is defensive bigs are so valued that I don't think he'll ever be in that position where his value is going to drop. I think he'll always have some type of value.
Unless he forgets how to play defense.
What's that?
Unless he forgets how to play D.
No, I mean, I don't think you ever forget how to play D. Unless you're a great offensive player, like Carmelo, then you forget how to play D.
Or the Clippers.
It's not that they forget how to play D.
The entire Clippers team forgot, so.
Well, I don't think it's that they forget. And I've said this so many times, all these players are very smart. Well, at least most of them. I don't think they forget how to play D. They just don't want to. You know, it depends on the culture that they speak to on that team. You know, if the team is, hey, we're gonna hunker down and play defense, that's what you're gonna do. Look at Doc Rivers' teams in Boston. He goes to LA, it's like, hey, we got an up tempo team, let's run up tempo. Oh, but we're not gonna play defense. You know?
Yep.
Coaching is it's undervalued in the NBA. I always felt that way, that coaches do have a big part, play a big part in what a team does. The problem is the coaches are such whipping boys for the star players that you're never going to get away from that.
Well, the coaches are also lazy. They're like, you don't know how to play D. You don't know how to play. You don't know how to read a playbook. You don't know. You just can't rely on athleticism anymore.
So
I'm not going to bother teaching you if you don't want to learn yourself.
So what is Quinn Snyder doing right in Utah?
I think he just got lucky.
You do.
You know, Hayward. You know.
I think Favors and Gobert are just a better combination than Favors was with Millsap and
Jackson. Well, yeah, Mills Favors and Cantor really couldn't play with each other.
Yeah.
And so you have two players who are now complementary. And, you know, he's gotten to the point where, well, they're good. They're still terrible. They're not challenging for the eighth seed by any means.
No, they're still a losing team. Yeah.
They're like, okay, well, we see the progress now.
They do need something. And you maxed out Gordon Hayward. So what do they go after here? You know, do they just hope that Alec Burks and Dante Exum work out? Or do you try to go after something free agency?
Well, you know, my solution for everything is go trade for, you know, go sign Lou Williams.
Okay.
Just, you know, when in doubt, just get somebody who's just going to shoot 10 threes every night.
Or J.R. Smith if he opts out.
Yeah, that's
J.R. Smith in Utah.
Basically just...
That would be great.
That would be a reality show. But, you know, you just need, when in doubt, go for a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But I think that's going to be wrapping up our version of the Western Conference for our draft recap and the free agency, kind of looking forward on the projections of what they might do. Give me one bold prediction in free agency for, like, one player or even a trade if you want to throw one out there.
Dallas will strike out. New York will sign two max deals. LA is going to strike out.
My bold prediction I think the Spurs will get two max players.
Well, Kawhi Leonard's one, so that doesn't really count. That's sort of half cheating.
Okay. The Spurs are going to get Kawhi Leonard and a max player.
Okay, good enough.
And I mean, it's probably going to be LaMarcus Aldridge, but I would not count out some of the others.
The Celtics will probably strike out, but they'll try to spin it to us as, you know, no, Robin Lopez, no, he's really the good one.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we'll shave his head too. We can, he's just as good, trust us.
Did you like the constant Jalen Rose jokes about how the Celtics are a 6-7 and under team?
Yeah. Well, it's just like Philly is going to go for starting four power forwards. The Celtics are going to go with four shooting guards out there. It's just like, I don't know.
Well, the league is getting smaller.
Pretty much, you know.
But like, it's not Honey, I Shrunk My Guards.
No, it's like Celtics are becoming Villanova.
Yeah.
Villanova drafts four, you know, every year they recruit four guards who are all 6-7, and then you have like one mysterious 6-9 center.
You want to hear something funny? Darren Hilliard at 6'6 was like their tallest guard.
Yeah. That's what like, the Celtics are doing. It's like, what? I don't know. Whatever. It's, you know, free agency is coming. It'll be excitement because this is always the year where somebody gets a crazy contract and you always go, why? Somebody, you know.
Following Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter from like July 1st to like July 10th is like the funnest. Because there's always deals where you're like, what the fuck was that? You know? And trust me, we will be here to catch up all those free agent signings when they come in the next week or two. We might take off for the 4th of July and, you know, celebrate history and all that stuff. Or just eat barbecue and get drunk or something else. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Take care, guys.